If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 51. I'm going to continue on our series, David's Prayer for Restoration. And this is quite a favorite psalm of mine. And I'm going to begin reading there in verse 1. And I'm going to read through verse 12. And we'll also have it up on the overhead for those of you that want to follow along there. Still hear pages flipping. I love it when people bring their Bibles to church. Amen. The book reads, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before thee. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities." Now it gets really good. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Amen. Let's pray and ask God to bless the reading and the preaching of his word. Father, we honor you and we magnify you today. God, we just pause right now to say thank you for these people that are here today that have come to worship you. And I pray in these next few moments, God, that you would speak to our hearts and to our lives. And Lord, as I minister this word, that your Holy Spirit would move among us, God, and that you would do the supernatural work in our hearts that only you can do. Bless each person under the sound of my voice. And I pray you would reveal yourself to them today in a very individual way, God, that they would know, God, that you are ministering and speaking to them. And we'll love you and we'll praise you. And the church agreed by saying, amen. And amen. David's prayer for restoration. What we have in the 51st Psalms is a picture, if you will, or a snapshot of a man who's passionate. He's just not wanting to get right with God and get things going in the right direction. He is passionate about restoring his relationship with God and getting things right with him. He had committed adultery. He had murdered the lady's husband and then took her for his own wife. And when you think and you hear about David's sin, you would think, well, he must have been a rough character to do something like that, or he must have been a depraved individual. I can tell you it was just the opposite. He was a king. Not only a king, he was a godly king. He worshiped the Lord fervently. He led the whole nation toward God and toward living for God and serving God. And so I think, if anything, this explains his passionate prayer in wanting to get things back right with God. And so it was not his regular MO to do something like this or to live that type of a life. And so we can learn from his experience today. How many of us, a lot better to learn from his experience and have to go through it ourselves? And so today we're going to learn from what David went through. And so far we've talked about several things, but the first four words of this chapter, "Have mercy on me," it says so much, because David realized he deserved so much worse, amen, than what he got. And so when he approached God on one basis, and that was, "God, have mercy on me." In other words, "God, don't give me, amen, what I deserve, amen." And can I tell you, it wasn't in this situation alone that David said, have mercy on me, or appealed to God's mercy. He had a lifelong history of approaching God and asking for God's mercy. How wise David was. Because God says that I will show my mercy to whom I will show my mercy to. And God says it's my goodness that causes me to show mercy. The scripture says that the mercies of God are from everlasting to everlasting. They endure forever. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so is the Lord's mercy toward His people. God has an abundant supply of mercy, but we need to appeal to that, and we need to ask God for that mercy, because we don't deserve, amen, those blessings and those things that we're asking God for. God is not indebted to anybody. And so when we approach God, we approach God asking for God's mercy. When David needed strength, God, according to your mercy, strengthen me. When he needed healing, according to your mercy. A wise person understands that is the goodness of God. It's the nature of who God is. And as his children, when we ask for mercy, I believe it opens heaven on our lives, and it gives God that opportunity to pour out his blessings upon us. He appealed to God's mercy. And then he says, blot out my sins. He understood that his life was stained with sin, and that there was no way that he could get that sin out of his life, and nobody else could either. But there was one person, and that was God, and God alone. He said to blot, to erase it. And God says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And so God says, I alone can wash away your sins and take those sins and remove them out of your lives. The next thing we talked about is how David said, I acknowledge my sins and my transgressions are ever before me. We talked about the need for complete honesty when we're wanting God to restore us and to revive us. We need to be honest with God. Don't try to paint up your sins and the wrong things in your life and make them look good. God doesn't need that. What God needs is for you just to come clean and to say, God, this is the way it is. And when David came to God, he didn't try to say, well, it was Bathsheba had a part in this, or there was something else going on here. No, he said, I just did wrong, and God, I'm guilty as can be. And he was 100% honest with God. How many of you know God already knows all about it? God already understands everything. And what God is looking for is he's looking for a people that will jump up on his lap and say, Daddy, I've got some issues here. And Daddy, I'm just going to pour out my heart, and I'm going to be 100% honest with you. Come on, give him a hand clap of praise. I'm going to be 100% honest. Now, today we're going to move into some new truths. And the first thing I'm going to talk to you about is point one is, my sin hurts the heart of God. Boy, do you hear it raining out there? God, let it rain like that on the inside. Amen. Woo. My sin hurts. Amen. We just lost everyone's. Everyone just, whoo. Oh, they're closing the door now. I hope you didn't leave your lawnmower out. Amen. My sin hurts the heart of God. Listen to David's words. Against thee and against thee only have I sinned. But then he says this, and done this evil in thy sight. David's heart was smitten because he realized that he had hurt the heart of God. God is always our benefactor. He is always the one blessing us. And so many times we're focused on what God gives us and what we need in our life. We forget to realize that when we do wrong, that we actually hurt the heart of God. Now, wrongdoing is usually done when nobody is watching. It's amazing how when people are watching, how it changes our behavior for the good. And it happens all the time. I remember my oldest son, he's not here, so I can mention him to him. Amen. We were having one of them teenager daddy talks right back there in the foyer of the church. And it wasn't going good. And so he didn't realize what he was doing, but he looked at me and he got right up in my face and said, "Dad, you're nothing but a big hypocrite." And something inside of me sprang. And something got off. My equilibrium just went off. And without even thinking, my hands went for his collar. And he was just getting ready to defy the law of gravity and go up against my office door. When a member of the church walked around the corner, walked right into the foyer, and all of a sudden his feet were on solid ground, and we got right back to a normal conversation. It is amazing how people, when we know people are watching us, how it changes our behavior. And I know, because I'm a pastor, and I know when people first come to the Lord, they have a little bit of a cussing. Well, probably a lot of a cussing problem before they come to the Lord. But afterwards, it seems like it just takes a little while to clean that mouth up. And I have noticed that when pastors around, and thank you for this, because you don't usually cuss at all when pastors around. And I really appreciate that. Man, when I walk in the room, I see TV channels change. I mean, I see radio stations change. And it's amazing how my presence as a pastor has an influence on people's behavior. And I thought about that. If me as a pastor has that kind of influence, what David is saying here is I came to realize that God is with me 24/7. And he says, when I did this mess with Bathsheba, what he's saying is that God was watching. God was right. God saw it all. And now his heart is smiting him because he knows God was right there and God saw it all. And he knows that it hurt the heart of God. And so the number one thing we need to know is that God is with us 24/7. And we need to, what I call, practice the presence of God. In other words, God says, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm with you all the time." And that will keep us strong when a trial comes. That'll keep us, man, ready to pray for somebody when we bump into Brother Joe at the grocery store and he needs prayer. We'll be on it. But we need to practice God's presence. And we need to know that when we do wrong, God sees everything and it hurts. Especially God's heart gets hurt when anyone sins, but when his children sin and do wrong, boy, it really hurts his heart. I don't know about you. I want to please God and I want to walk with God. I want to bless God with my life. I do not want to hurt the heart of God. And what he's saying is that, God, I did this in your sight and I know that I hurt your heart. And the next truth we see here is that David basically declares that I always trust you to do what's right in my life, God. I always trust you to do what is best for my life. Because what he says next is that you might be justified when you speak and clear when you judgest. And so what David is saying is that I trust you to do what's best for me. Even in this low point and this terrible point, after I did this terrible thing, I still trust you. Can I tell you that you can always trust God to do what is right in your life? Yeah. Now, it might not always feel like it. But what David was saying, God, whatever verdict you render or however you decide to handle this situation that I got myself into, God, I am going to accept whatever you decide and however you want to handle it, because you're going to give me what's best for my life, even when I'm down in the dumps like this. Amen. And I want to tell you that God is always going to do what is best and right. It may not seem like it at times. Now, after I worked 10 years to build up my sign contracting company, I finally started to make some good money. And I was pretty happy about that. Someone say amen. Amen. It's always good when you make a lot of money. Amen. Amen. And built it up. And then God calls me to leave my sign company and take off for Bible school after I'd worked 10 years to build that thing up. Now, I don't know if that's exactly what you would call amen. How many of you know hindsight's better than foresight? And after serving God now for 35 years, now at the time, I questioned the wisdom of God in that. But in hindsight, I can look back over my life and I can say every single time God has always done what was best for my life, even though I didn't understand it or it didn't feel like it at the time. And so when I went back to Bible school, what happened was I had sold my house and I had a large check coming, which was going to pay for all my expenses to take care of me and get me situated back there at Bible college. And guess what happened? I went into the bank before I left. I looked the banker right between the eyes. This guy buying my house is pre-approved. The loan will go through, correct? Yes, Mr. Tuck, you don't have a worry in the world on this guy. He's solid. Well, when I got back there, the deal fell through and the check didn't come in the mail. How many of you know I didn't exactly like that too much? That was not a joy ride down at Disneyland. I'll let you know that right now. But the reality is, how would I know now today that I can really trust God when it seems like there's no way to make it financially if God hadn't brought me through that back in the day? And then I had 8 employees when I was kind of like, you know, the big man at the sign company. And then God takes me and puts me in as an associate pastor, the low man on the totem pole on a church staff. And all of a sudden, I've got a demanding pastor making me work, and telling me what to do. How many of you know, I really didn't like that much compared to calling the shots. But now that I look at that, I needed to have that man's influence in my life to help me to be the pastor God was going to ask me to be down the road. And God was doing what was best for my life, even though it hurt, even though I didn't like it at times, and even though it didn't always feel good. And so David's saying, God, whatever you give to me, God, I'm going to accept it at your... I wish we could just get a hold of this truth today, because we would learn to be content. I didn't like what they paid me either, amen, working at that church. It was like barely minimum wage or a couple, you know, bucks over, amen. I was used to making a lot more. A lot of things I didn't like, but as I look back, I understand that God was better than GPS, amen. God was with laser guidance, guiding my life through my situations, through my left turns, my right turns, and God was positioning me, training me, placing me. And God has always given me what is best for my life. And David says, God, I'm going to trust you even in this. Whatever situation you find yourself in. Now, I remember there's 6 in our family. I can't forget that. Amen. And we had to live in a 1.5 bedroom house with 6 of us. And I'm thinking, that didn't feel too good. 6 of us in a 1.5 bedroom house. But guess what? If I hadn't gone through that, I wouldn't appreciate the house that I'm in right now and understand that any roof over my head, it's a gift from God. I'm going to be thankful for it. I'm going to be thankful for it, even though there might be 5 guys in there in that same house or 5 women in that same house, whatever. I am going to understand that God always gives me His best. And when I'm ready for more, amen, God will give me more and God will work me along that process. I always trust God to do what is best in my life. Everyone say amen to that. Number 3, David would say, I give God credit for every good thing in my life. I give God credit. You know that you need to give God the glory and the credit for every good thing that happens in your life. Listen to what he says in verse 5. I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He's not saying that my mom was a sinful person. I was conceived in sin by my parents. That's not what he's saying. What he's talking about here is that he was born with a sin nature in him. That sin nature is in all of us. And that sin nature, what it is, he looks back over his life and he understands from this unique perspective he finds himself in, he understands that he was born with a propensity to sin, with an inclination towards sin. And part of that nature that was in him, that nature was formed while he was in him while he was being formed in his mother's womb. And what he was saying is that I have a sin nature, but David right now, because he had been through this big failure, was able to observe it in a way I don't think many of us can. He had keen insight. He had, if you will, amen, not the shot from a ladder on top of a roof. He was up about 2,000 feet in a helicopter, and he saw the whole thing real clear at this point in his life. And what he saw as he looked back, that God had used me so tremendously. God had blessed me. How many of you ever heard of the Midas touch? Well, that's what David had. Everything he touched, it turned to gold. He was a musician. When he played his harp, it was so anointed, amen, that evil spirits were driven away. When he went out to battle, he slayed 9-foot-tall giants and had hundreds of victory on the battlefield, victory after victory. And not only that, he was a prophet. And he could preach the word, and he was a great military leader. And he was all these things. And now when he looks back over his life, what he realizes is that he wasn't all that hot after all, but this was nothing but God in his life that enabled him to do that through the whole process. And what he does now is he goes back and he looks and says, you know what? Even when I was in my mother's womb, there was a tendency in my life to sin and to do wrong. And so everything that's happened in my life is good. I give God all the glory and all the credit for it. And I want to tell you, if you've had a good day, give God the glory for it. If somebody's complimented you, give God the glory for it. If you've gotten a raise at work, really give God the glory for it. Amen. Whatever good is in your life, it is because of the goodness of God. And so he says, inside of me, and Paul said it this way, I know that in my flesh dwells no good thing. And I'll be honest with you, the good thing that's in me, it's J-E-S-U-S, Jesus Christ, my Savior, my King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. And so what he's saying is that God gets all of the credit for it. And so when we look at this, there's another scripture that says that David was a man after God's own heart, and that David did always follow the Lord, except for in the matter of Bathsheba. There's a scripture that says that. So David lived a godly life all the way through, but then his life takes a dip right here in this situation with Bathsheba. So from that perspective, he looks back and he realized what is capable because of that sin nature that's in his life. And he saw that in a whole new way. And if David was here, he would say, be careful you don't get too far away from God, because there is a sin nature in you. And that sin nature will cause you to do things that you don't even think you're capable of doing. And so we need to stay close to God. Amen. We need to love God. We need to be in God's presence. We need to be in church. And so the next thing we see is that point four, restoration is always possible. Boy, that's good news, isn't it? Restoration, no matter who you are, no matter what's happened in your life, no matter, amen, what has caused a decline or how far away you are from God, restoration is always possible. David says this, create in me a clean heart. Check out this prayer. I love it. Create in me a clean heart. He's not praying, oh God, help me to do better. He's not praying, oh God, give me strength so I don't do this again. He's not praying, oh God, help me to get up, amen, and not to fall again. He's not praying nothing like that. He goes right to the heart of the issue. And he says, oh God, create in me a clean heart. God, what's most important, amen, is what you do on the inside of me. What's inside of me and what the condition of my heart is, that's what matters the most. And God, I need you to do a change on the inside of me, because if you don't do a change in my heart on the inside, I might come to a place where I do the right things, but I'm just going through the motions. He's saying, God, I need you to give me a clean heart. I need you to do a work inside of me, because I could go through the motions and do all the right things, but it not come from my heart. And what he's saying is, I don't want to focus on the outward image of my life. I want to focus on my heart. True change must come from the heart. I'm going to say that again. True change must come from the heart. Now, this word create, same word used in Genesis, where it said God spoke the heavens and the earth into existence. That means to create something out of nothing. And what David is saying, God, is that I want to look at you and I want to see you right now as a heart surgeon. And I want you to come down as a heart surgeon, God, and I want you to crack my chest open. And I want you to take out this sinful, pride-filled heart of mine, which maybe I thought was pretty good till I went through this experience. Take this out, and I want you to replace it with a brand new heart, a heart that's just like yours, a heart that will love you, a heart that will be passionate for you, a heart that will want to serve you. Can I tell you, you got to catch this, because this is what Christianity is all about. Christianity is not about a big God with a big stick who wants to beat you over the head and force you to comply with his laws or rules or regulations. That is not my God that I serve. But our God, he gave his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you and for me. That if we would receive his sacrifice on the cross, his shed blood would wash us so clean that the presence of God can come in. He can open up our chest, get into our heart, and do a heart surgery in us. And instead of having an exterior motive, instead of having someone with a big stick beating on us to conform to what God wants, God instead puts a new heart in us and he creates something out of nothing. Behold, if any man be in Christ, old things are passed away, all things become new. You become a new creation in Jesus Christ. And that's what it means to be a new creation, that God reaches in and he puts a new heart in you, a heart that loves God, a heart that wants to serve God, a heart that loves your brothers and sisters. And that's what Christianity is all about. It's about God giving us a new heart, amen, and giving us the desire, amen, to live right and to do right. Because I got news for you. You're going to do what you want to do, amen. I can, if someone else can talk you into something, somebody else can talk you out of it. So true change and motive has to come from within, from the heart, and only God can change your heart. Nobody can change your heart. You can't even change your own heart, but God is the only one that can change our heart. Oh God, give us a clean heart, oh God. Give us a clean heart, God. Make a change in me. That's why some people that are the worst sinners can become the best Christians. If you're one of those who said, I would never serve God, I got good news for you. You could be the best Christian in Santa Cruz. Amen. Because he that is forgiven much loves much. And God can forgive you and God can put a new heart in you. And so the last thing I want to say here, and I'm closing, is that I need consistency in my life. That's what David would say next. I need consistency in my life. David says, renew a right spirit within me. And that word right, what it means is steadfast. In other words, first word, create, make something out of nothing. But the second word is renew. That means there's something that was already once there that needs restoration. And so the creation of the new heart, that's God. But now he's praying, God, renew a steadfast spirit in me. In other words, let me be consistent in my approach and my relationship to you. How many of you know what gets us in trouble as Christians more than anything is our inconsistencies? And God is saying here, he says, I need consistency in my life. And so what I hear David saying is, I don't ever want to go through this again. So, God, once you give me the clean heart, amen, and you renew my heart, then, God, what I want, not renew my heart, give me a brand new heart, amen. What I want, God, after that new, is then I want to be consistent so I protect and guard. The Bible says, guard your hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so what David says now, God, I need a steadfast spirit so I can protect and guard and keep that new heart you gave me so, God, it can be clean. Now, how many of you know heart health is important? So we're going to just do a little parallel real quick. How many of you know if you want good heart health. You got to eat right. Everybody say, eat right. Yeah. Amen. God says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If you want to have a good heart, you got to eat the word of God. You got to fill your life with God's word. Amen. Join the one-year Bible. Amen. There's an advertisement. Join the one-year Bible reading program. Want a healthy heart? You got to exercise. Everyone say exercise. The Bible says pray without ceasing. If you want to keep your heart healthy, you have got to be a person of prayer. Now, I don't know how you would describe your prayer life this morning. Some of you might say, oh, it's steak and lobster, Pastor. And someone else might say, oh, peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But just don't say Skippy dog food. Amen. But we need to have a prayer life. Ask God to help you to be consistent in your prayer life, consistent in your Bible. If we would be consistent in our prayer life, consistent in our Bible reading, that would eliminate about 85% of all the problems we face as Christians right there. Now, number three, what do you got to do? You got to watch your weight. Everybody say, wait. The Bible says, cast every care upon Him, because stress will give you a heart attack so fast. They say stress is one of the worst things for your heart. But He says, listen, cast all your care upon Me because I care for you. Take no thought. You need to learn to give your burdens to the Lord. You're not designed to carry heavy loads. You're designed to carry a little load and dump it frequently. Little load, dump it frequently. You're not designed to carry big loads. Amen. So you need to do that. And the last you need to do is stress management. Amen. You got to take care of stress management. Don't enjoy life. Don't get so uptight so easy all the time. Have a little fun. Amen? Amen. Now, steadfastness. I need consistency in my life. I believe today that God wants to renew our hearts. God wants to bring restoration to our lives. And we see David here passionately crying out, God, I need restoration. I need You to do something. Now, listen, I've been at times where I've done pretty good. I thought I was all that. But after reading this story, I realized there's a sin nature in me, just like there's a sin nature in all of us. And it's not us that should get the credit when something good happens, or that when we live a good, godly life. And if I can come up here and preach good and be consistent in my prayer, I can't brag and think I'm anything, because there's nothing but a sin nature in me. It's all God. God gets all the glory. Now, I have to cooperate with God, but He gets all the glory. Paul says, thank God I labor more abundantly than you all, yet not I, but Christ in me. He corrects himself really fast. And so we need to give God the glory and give God the credit. And I want to tell you today, God is not a big God with a big stick. He's a loving heavenly Father. And He doesn't want to force you to... matter of fact, if you don't serve God with a willing heart that loves Him, then it's not acceptable to God, because God's more concerned with not what you do, but why you do it. Motive it, and what comes from the heart is what God... Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. How many of you know that God can do more in 5 seconds time in your life than you can do in a lifetime of labor? But it's a simple, amen, accepting what Jesus did on the cross and letting Him be the Lord of your lives. Would you stand with me all across the building? I'm going to close our service now in a word of prayer. If you would join with me, let's bow our heads, let's pray. Father, I thank You for this opportunity to share Your love and to share Your word. God, I pray this word would just bring life change to us. God, You know what we need, and God, only You can do it for us. God, we want hearts that are right with You. We want lives, God, that are filled with Your presence. And so, God, I just pray right now that You would move among us. I pray right now You just take a moment and pray to the Lord, and just take a moment and let God minister to you. Reflect on the word of the Lord that was ministered today, and just ask God how He wants you to respond. Because I believe that the time when we pray at the end of the service, that's the time when we respond to what God has spoken. And I just pray before you leave the building today that you would take a moment, that you would respond to the Lord. I know that you want to please God just like I do. And so we need to be reminded that when we do wrong, it's God sees it all. So let's not hurt the heart of God. Let's make that shift where, God, I want to walk with you and I want to please you. Can I tell you, if you have hurt the heart of God, God will so freely forgive you. He will so freely open his arms to you this morning. But you've got to come and you've got to ask him for help today. Maybe you're in a position in your life where you don't really understand, or maybe you're having to live in a place where you feel confined, or maybe you're having to work at a job where you're not making a lot of money right now and you kind of feel locked in. Can you say today, God, I'm going to trust you with my life? That wherever status you're in, wherever you're at in your life, instead of being uptight and trying to fight and squirm and fix, can you just accept where God has you right now and let God do the promotion? Let God give that burden to the Lord and trust that God's going to do what's right in your life. Maybe we just need to give God the glory. Maybe you just need to spend some time thanking him today. And just remember today, restoration is possible. No matter what's taken place in your life, you can be completely restored. God says, I can even restore the wasted years. Doesn't mean God will give you your time back. It means that in the next few years, God can do more in the next few years than what you messed up in the last 10 years. That's a good word for somebody right there. If you're here today, if you just keep your heads bowed just for a moment, and you would say, Pastor, today I want to open my heart to Christ. I want to invite him in, and I want to ask him to be my Lord and my Savior. I want to dedicate my life to Christ. If that's you, you'd say, that's me, Pastor. Please pray for me. Would you just lift your hand up? Please, all across this building, pray for me, Pastor. Thank you for your hands. Thank you for your sincerity today. I just appreciate your honesty before the Lord. To the rest of us today, I just want to open these altars, and to those who raised your hands, let's spend a little time in prayer before we leave today. Let's commit this word to the Lord. Let's just come and thank him for being so good to us. These altars are open. Come, let's find a place to pray. For those of you that do need to be dismissed, we understand. Please just don't disturb those that are still praying.